Okay, here we go. So, continuing our theme, right? Minor character in a major story. So this week I was trying to find minor characters. I thought of Lavan, not minor enough. I fell upon Bilha and Zilpah. It's not that much about them. While I was doing that afterwards, I thought of Dinah. She also would have been good. But maybe we could do that next week. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Because she comes into her own next week, really. But this week we have Bilha and Zilpah, who are, of course, the Shvachot. Now, it's hard, and it's actually strange that I would call them minor characters, when in fact, they're anything but minor, right? They are the mothers of four Shvatim, right? Four of the tribes of Israel. So it's hard to call them minor characters. But considering how little we know about them, and how little we talk about them, I think it is fair to call them minor characters. So let's learn a little bit about them from the text, and then we'll ask some questions, and then we'll see what the Midrashim have to add over here. Okay, so the Torah says, "Vatiten la lo et Bilha shivchata leisha, v'yavo ela Yaakov." Right. So Rachel, once she sees that Leah has had a few children already, and she hasn't had any, so she decides that she wants to do something. Right. She wants to have some chelek in Yaakov having children. She complained already that Yaakov doesn't seem to be davening for her. Nothing seems to be going right. Yaakov insensitively says, you know, it's not my fault that this is happening. I already have kids. This is obviously, it's about you. It's not about me. So Rachel decides she's going to do something about it. She pulls a Sarah. She learns from her grandmother, from her grandmother-in-law. And she grabs Bilha, which is her Shifcha. Really should have put another source over here, the one beforehand, where we find out that Zilpah is apparently the Shifcha of Leah. But Bilha is the Shifcha of Rachel. And she gives her to Yaakov so that he can bear children with her. But Tahar Bilha, Vatele de Yaakov Ben, and she immediately becomes pregnant. She has a boy, and Rachel names him. Batomba Rachel, Danani Elohim, Vegam Shama Bekoli, Vaiten Li Ben, Alken Kara Shmo. Dan, Hashem has judged me. Seems to be a negative judgment, right? Hashem has judged that I'm not going to have children, but Bilha is going to have them for me. And then again, Vatar Od Vatele Bilha Shivchat Rachel, Ben Sheni Li Yaakov. She has a second boy. Batom Rachel, Naftule Elohim Niftalti Imachoti, Gam Yacholti Vatikra Shmo Naftali. English over here says Naftule means has vindicated me. You know, he showed that I'm not so bad. And he's given me a son. Oh, sorry, that's Danani. I apologize. Over here, a faithful contest. Okay, Naftule. Faithful contest I waged with my sister and I have prevailed. So she named him Naftali. I don't know why she thinks that she prevailed, but she at least had a second child, and she had Naftali. Then, all's fair. Leah decides that she's going to do the same thing. She's going to turn around. Leah sees that she has at least temporarily stopped having children. We know that afterwards Leah is going to have two more. She's not finished, but she's stopped for now. She grabs Zilpah. She gives him her to Yaakov, and they have a child. Okay, she calls him God. They have another child, and they call the second child of Zilpah Asher. Okay, fine. Now, this is thus far in terms of the Bilha and the Zilpah story in terms of the children. What I skipped over, and I shouldn't have skipped over it, is that we did get introduced to both Bilha and Zilpah beforehand. When do we first get introduced to them? How do we first get introduced to them? Do you remember? Anybody remember how we first get introduced to them? Well, the first time we see them is when actually Leah is getting married to Yaakov, his first wife. Why do we see them, and why is it important? So as we're going to see, I think I have the medrash later, but we might as well blow it now. Lavan purposely gives Zilpah to Leah. Why does he do that? Why is it on purpose? Why do I say he does it on purpose? Because what's the difference between Zilpah and Bilha? Zilpah is the younger one, and Bilha is the older one. Lavan wanted to complete the trickery, so he gave Zilpah to Leah because Yaakov would assume that the shvachot would line up with the banot, that surely Lavan would give the older shivcha to the older girl, Leah, and the younger shivcha to the younger girl, Rachel. But he didn't. Lavan switched it. That was part of the whole switcheroo. He gave Zilpah to Leah and Bilhah to Rachel, thereby completing the whole switcheroo. So that's the first time they show up. What questions do we have about Bilhah and Zilpah? What can we think of? Things that bother you. I know that we don't think that much about them. Maybe that's actually a question. What do we think about Bilhah and Zilpah? No? Start firing some questions. Go ahead.
First question I have is, who were they? Where did they come from?
Good. Good start. Who are they and where do they come from? Maybe some names, meanings. Like, is there a meaning to their names? Good. What else? Let's think more broadly. Not even just the text. Not even just the story. More broadly. What kind of questions do we have? Barbara, you're muted.
Sarah, how can they be on a level with Rachel and Leah?
Good question. There you go. There we go. Now we're getting somewhere. These are the Yud Bet Shvatim, right? These are the Shiftei Ka. These are where we all come from. These are the tribes. And these two, Bilhah and Zilpah, they're supposed to be two of the matriarchs, basically. Major role. They have as many children as Rachel had. The flip side of that question, I think, which is something that we're not able to put our finger on, but is the question is, and this is a two-parter, I guess, why don't we think about them more? If they are two out of the four mothers of
Shvatim,
we should talk about them more.
Sorry.
Okay. We should talk about them more. For example, let me throw this out there. Arba mi odea. Arba mi odea. No? Arba imahot. But who are the arba imahot? Everybody knows who the arba imahot are. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Well, excuse me. Shisha mi odea. It's not Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, it's Shisha imahot. No? Why is it? Why do we only count four mothers? We've got six mothers total. So what happened to Bilhah and Zilpah? Why do they get lost in the whole thing? Okay. So let's start with those questions. So one question, Martin, that we have to answer in terms of the who are they, where do they come from, right? Is what actually is their status? Because on the one hand, here it's very clear that they're called shvachot, right? They're handmaidens, whatever it is, whatever that means, handmaids. But then, vayana van vayomer el Yaakov, habanot benotai vabanim banai. So when he says this, who's not mentioned? What about the shvachot? He could have added that in. So what does it sound like when he says banot benotai? Well, frankly, it kind of sounds like he's including Bilhah and Zilpah in the banot. Now, is he doing this kind of just as a shorthand, or is there something a little bit deeper going on? So the first section over here, and just to make this clearer, by the way, they get all different kinds of terminology. For example, over here, Tnaed nashayved yiladai yashar varati otcha bahen ve'elecha. Okay, this is Yaakov to Lavan. How does he identify everybody here? Nashai. What does he mean by nashai over here? Is he only talking about Rachel and Leah? Or is it possible that he's talking about Bilhah and Zilpah? That they're his nashim as well. Again, they're his nashim. Shtei nashav over here. But then, over here, the Torah also says nishay aviv. So it sounds like they are full wives from here, except for one exception. What's the exception? All of a sudden over here, vayelech Ruvain, vayishkavet Bilhah. Pilegesh Aviv, the concubine of his father. But I thought it was Eshet Aviv. No? Why is she called over here a Pilegesh? So what is the actual, I guess you'd say, legal status of Bilhah and Zilpah, especially vis-a-vis Yaakov? That's what I'm wondering about. Okay. So, who are they? So let's see what Chazal have to tell us. So the Medrash Seichotov says, "Ele b'nei zilpa shonatan lavan d'leya bito l'shivcha v'shichra uta." So what does this mean? That means that Stam Lavan had a shivcha that he gave to Leah, and what did Leah do? Leah freed her. So at this point, by the time we get to, let's say, Zilpah having children, what is her legal status?
She's a wife.
Full-on wife. She's a free woman. Full-on wife. I want to call her Jewish, but that's kind of an anachronism. She's just a regular wife, it seems. She's a freed woman. So, no big deal.
A special status of Shivcha that you're free to marry a son?
That, an Ama Ivriya. That's an Ama Ivriya. But that's a full-on Jewish woman. That's a Jewish woman who becomes an Ama Ivriya. And she can marry either the Adon or the son of the Adon. But she's a regular Jewish woman. Here, presumably, by Shivcha, we mean like a Shivcha Knanit, like a non-family.
Why? There's no Jews yet, so how can they be non-Jews?
That's fair. That's true. But technically speaking, a Shivcha Knanit, they're not allowed to marry. And there's some question about how that worked with Avraham. There's a lot of brisker Torah written on that topic. So it's a fair question. But here it's clear that Rashi says that she was freed. Okay? Fine. So, but that would imply that there's no relationship really between, it doesn't say anything about a relationship between her and Lavan. It just seems to be family Shifcha, and then he gives her to Leah, to Rachel rather, and Rachel frees her. Okay, this is how it was in my head when I thought about it. This is what I assumed. But not so simple.
Rav Dani, I'm so sorry. I missed the last minute or two. Did you talk about the status of them, who they were? I missed that.
We're starting to talk about that right now. So the first thing that we saw is just that the Midrash, one Midrash, we'll see many, but one Midrash says simply that that Zilpah was a Shifcha, regular handmaid, a maiden, that was given by Lavan to Rachel, and Rachel to Leah, sorry, and Leah freed her. And then by the time she marries Yaakov, she's freed. So her status is basically full wife. There's nothing special about her at that point.
Okay.
Now the same Midrash gives us a little bit insight into their background, at least in terms of their names. It says Bilha Zilpa al Maseha Gvirot and Kroot. These are not their real names, basically. Bilha al Shem Habilhut. V'domelo le'et era v'hine bilha, ki haita mitzta'eret u'mitbahelet al akirut v'rta. Where did Bilha get her name from? From her distress about how Rachel was barren. That's the name Bilha. So, you know, if you take that at face value, her name is not Bilha. Her name is something else. And the nickname that's given to her by the Torah is Bilha because she's expressing distress about Rachel. What's her real name? We don't know necessarily. Just amazing. Zilpah, what about Zilpah? Shegam hi eneha mezalfot dma'ot. So Zilpah milashon ziluf, which is sprinkling, right? Because her eyes would sprinkle. Al shayta gvirata amurala Esav. Why? Because Leah, this is more backstory, Leah was really meant for Esav. Leah should have married Esav, and Rachel should have married Yaakov, older to older, younger to younger. Didn't work out that way. But Leah, her eyes were rakot, the Midrash says, because she was crying all the time, because she knew she was supposed to marry Esav, and she didn't want to. And so Zilpah was also very upset about that, so she used to cry as well. Okay, so that's where their names come from, according to the Midrash. Now it gets a little bit more complicated. A different Midrash in the same book, though, Vayitein Lavan et Zilpah Shivchata Bito Mipilagsho. So this would make her, the reason why she called this Shivcha is because her mother is a Pilagesh, but who's her father?
Lavan,
which makes her a stepsister, right? So she's a stepsister. So not only did Yaakov marry two sisters, he married, well, we didn't get there yet, well, the assumption here is that Bilha is the same. He married four sisters. Okay? Two sets of sisters from the same father. Okay. So that gives you more family background. So this creates a connection between Lavan and Zilpah and Bilhah that is family, which is why the Midrash and Bereishit Rabbah says, Vayan Lavan Vayom Leyakov Habanot Bnotai Vabanim Banai Amar Rabbi Yavin Kulhon Bnotav Hayu. They were all his daughters, all of them. He's referring to every single one of the wives of Yaakov when he says, Habanot Bnotai, including Bilhah and Zilpah. Sorry, one second. Let me just fix the air conditioning in here. Should be off and it's on. Okay. Then he continues. It gives you the explanation. Habanot Bnotai Harishtaim. Live no time, ase, are arba. So he learns it from the pasuk. He says, Habanot Bnotai. And then it says, Vabanim Banai. And then he says again, Believe no tie. So the extra word, it says, teaches us that they were all his banot. Same thing over here. Kulam chashuvot lo lik banot. This midrash actually seems to not go that way and says they were considered like his banot, but not that they were actually his banot. But what's the backstory with this whole considered, this whole banot? So take a look at this. This is the most explicit. So this is a midrash that's quoted in the Sefer Bereishit Rabbati. It says, "Vayiten Lavan et Zilpa shifchato, v'shifchotavayu ela." Here we go. "Benimus haaretz, benotav shel adam mipilagshav nikru shvachot." The way that it normally works is that if you have children with a pilagesh, so those are called shvachot. That's their status. That's one opinion. Vita amar avi bilha vezilpa achia acheha shel dvora meneket rivkahaya veachoti haya shmo. So this midrash says, no, these are not Lavan's children. They're his adopted children, as we're going to see. But who are their actual parents? So this midrash says that the actual father of Bilhah and Zilpah was the brother of Dvorah. Who's Dvorah? How do we know Dvorah?
Meneket Rivkah.
Right. So Dvorah is another name that shows up twice in Tanakh, right? Shows up later on in Sefer Shoftim. But before that, it shows up in 2 weeks from now. When does Rivkah die? Whenever Rivkah dies. So the Torah doesn't actually say the Rivka dies. It tells you that Dvorah Mineket, the Dvorah dies. And that tells you that Rivka died as well. So Dvorah was with Rivka. So Dvorah is also from the household of Lavan, because ultimately Rivka is Lavan's sister, which would make Dvorah the Shivcha of Lavan's sister, or the Mineket rather, of Lavan's sister. And apparently Dvorah had a brother named Achia, who would have also lived on the plantation, right? He would have also lived in the household of Lavan, the whole family, right? And guess what his name was? Achoti. Why is his name Achoti? I don't know, but that was his name. V'tam shenisa isha nishba v'shalach Lavan upda'o. What happened? Before he got married, he got captured, and Lavan went and he was podet. He went and he redeemed him. And Lavan gave him a shifcha for a wife. Okay, something had something to do with the name of the place. But basically, that makes Zilpah the daughter of one of Lavan's shvachot and this achoti character. Yalda od bat v'karashma bilha, which makes Bilha the younger one, by the way, against the midrash that that Rashi quotes, he gives this is a different explanation for the names. By the way, according to this, Zilpah is the name of some town, and Bilhah is because she had trouble nursing. Amar ma behula biti. They probably didn't have formula at the time, so it was very important that every single baby should nurse. V'kasher alach Yaakov etz Lavan. Meit achoti avihen, v'lakach Lavan lechava shivchato ulishtei bnoteha. Who is this Chava? Chava is the mother. Chava is the shivcha who married achoti, and had Zilpah and Bilhah. So now you know, according to this midrash, the names of Zilpah and Bilhah's parents, Achoti and Chava. V'natan Zilpah gdola la le'ah bito gdola la le'shifcha. Right here it says Zilpah is gdola. See that? Mm-hmm. That's against the midrash that Rashi quotes. Which makes sense that he would do that, but doesn't work with the other midrash. Now,
so it makes them Lavan's granddaughters.
Why?
Because Chava was his Shifcha, which was his Pelegish's daughter.
No, these are two.
We said a Shifcha was his Pelegish.
No, this is a different opinion. This is Ve'id Da'amar. It's a different opinion.
Ah, so it's not...
It's a different opinion.
Okay.
In this opinion, this is an interesting opinion. In this opinion, they're not related to Lavan. Okay? They just happen to be from his household because he did something nice, by the way. He redeemed a captive. Okay? That was nice of him. He redeemed the captive, they married him off to the Shifcha, and those were Bilhah and Zilpah, who lived in his household, and he gave them to Rachel and Leah. Now, what's interesting is, let's skip this pasuk in Mishlei, but here, Vatar od vateled Bilhah shifchat Rachel ben sheni Yaakov. Right? We read this pasuk before. Rachel has a second child. Well, Bilhah has a second child, and Rachel names him. Vatomer Rachel, naftulei Elohim niftalti im achoti. So it could be that Achoti here is not my sister, but it's rather the father
of the child
of Bilhah and Zilpah, right? So it changes a little bit the meaning of that pasuk if that's correct, which is interesting. Okay, so that's who they are. We don't exactly know. We know random details. And the Midrash picks at these strings and comes up with different ideas. It could be that they're actually Lavan's daughters with a Pilegesh, or it could be that they just lived in his household. And then there's a whole backstory with this Achoti and Chava. Now, what's their role? What happens with them? So a few more details. It says, Vatela Zilpah Shivchat Leia. You'll notice that over here, okay, here it's Vatiten Lo Ad Bilhah Shivchata Leisha. Rachel gives her shifcha to Yaakov. But then, when it gets back to Bilhah, it says, Vatar Bilhah, without any labeling of shifcha. Whereas over here, in the second one, it says, Vateled Bilhah shifchat Rachel, ben sheni Yaakov. That's interesting. Sometimes she's a shifcha, sometimes she's not. Here it's Vatikachet Zilpah shifchata, Vateled Zilpah shifchat Leal Yaakov ben, Vatelet Zilpah Shifchat Leia. Here it's always Shifcha, but over here it's not. Vatar Bilhah Vatel Yaakov Ben. Over here she's just Bilhah, which is interesting. But over here, what I wanted to point out was Vatel Zilpah Shifchat Leia Bekulam Ktiv Vatar Vekan Vatelet. Over here, the first time that Zilpah gives birth, there's a little bit of a change in the pattern. The first time that Bilhah gives birth, it says, Vatahar Bilhah, Vatelet. Vatahar Od, Vatelet. Then by Zilpah, Vatelet Zilpah. What are we missing?
Tahir.
Vatahar, the pregnancy. Did she just, was this immaculate conception? Did she just have a baby without even being pregnant? It's even better. She was never even pregnant. She just had a baby. It just popped out. And again, Vatelet Zilpah. So what are we to make of this? So Rashi says, he quotes the Midrash and says that it means that because this is consistent with Rashi's position that Zilpah was the younger one, Bachuraita Vulaita Nikaret Beibura. She was so young, I don't know how physiologically this works, but she was so young that it wasn't clear at all that she was pregnant. I actually don't know what this means. What does youth have to do with whether or not you're visibly pregnant? I have no idea. But Rashi thinks that that's what's going on over here because Rashi, again, thinks that Zilpah is the younger one because she was married off to Leah in order to complete the trick of Lavan. Now, what were they thinking? So Leah says, Ma sara shehaita akara kevan shenitna shivchata lebala nivnet ani sheyesh li banim im eten shivchati lebali al achat kama v'kama miyad lakra shivchata v'nadna lebala adav dechti v'tikach et zilpa. What was Leah thinking when she did this? So she wanted to do exactly what Sarah did. Sarah wanted to, you know, to be built through her children, through the children of Hagar. So Leah thought she would do the same thing. We're going to get back to, I want to get back to comparing Hagar to Leah and Rachel. So just make sure that I don't forget to do that. Here's another one over here that's important.
Sorry, Avdani. Yeah. That's strange, because surely that would be more of what Rachel was thinking than what Leah was thinking. Leah already had children.
Yeah, Rachel's the one. I agree. I think what Rashi's struggling with here is Leah already has children. So why does she need to do this? She already has. So it seems that Rashi's trying to answer that question by saying there's an assumption here that they all knew that there were going to be 12 boys. They all knew there was going to be 12 boys. Leah is already, you know, she's got the inside track. She's already at 4, right? And she sees that Rachel has started to have children through Zilpah, right? So through Bilhah, rather. So Leah, not wanting to be, you know, to be outdone, she figures, if I'm finished, right, there's still 8 left. So she says, I need to complete my, you know, my quota. So she says, I need 2 more at least. That's what she's thinking. She's worried that maybe Rachel is going to do that. What was this? So a little bit more insight into the psychology over here. So Bilhah gets actually a little bit more love from Chazal than Zilpah does. Why? It says, Zachta Bilhah bebaneha shekatub behem kol v'ikdima nefashot dominyan k'shem shamar bebnei agvirot. So this is from Parshat Vayigash, when they're listed. So Bilhah, I believe, goes first. And it says, "Lefisha bechibah nisev liYaakov lahamid lo toladot." Bilhah was happy to get married to Yaakov so that she could have children with Yaakov, because she wanted to be part of this. But Zilpah didn't. Keshemanu bnei Asher lo manu otam al shem Zilpah. When we get the names of Zilpah's children, they're not listed as being the daughters of Zilpah, but rather the daughters of Leah. Why? She didn't want to have any children. Zilpah did not want to be, I guess, utilized in this way. The same way that apparently Bilhah was very happy to do. Over here as well, it says, Haben arishon shealda Bilhah hayta bizchut atzma, av haben hasheni haya bizchut Rachel. Now, where would you get this? Where's the indication? Why do Chazal say this? They tell you. What makes you think that Bilhah's first child is fundamentally different from her second child? We pointed this out before. Vatar Bilhah vateler Yaakov ben. Vatar od vateler Bilhah shivchat Rachel ben sheni Yaakov. It appears that at least in this pasuk, Dan is totally Bilhah's. It's true that Rachel names him, but when Bilhah is described, she's not described as being the Shifcha of Rachel. And that's what leads Chazal to say over here, that the first child is Bizchut Atzma, but the second child is Bizchut Rachel. V'kach katub bo Shifchat Rachel, migam she'alda ben Yaakov, ashayta Shifchat Rachel. The second child, the second time she had a child, it was really Rachel's Zchut. We see also later on that Bilhah makes 2 more appearances. Okay, in Chazal. One is in the parasha, actually, in next week's parasha. After Rachel dies, what happens, famously? Yaakov needs to do something, so he needs to move somebody into his tent. So who does he decide to move into Rachel's vacant spot? Bilhah, Rachel Shifcha. Kevan shemeta Rachel, echnisat Bilhah ba'ol Rachel, v'amda b'mkoma. She became the nursemaid of Binyamin. She completely replaced Rachel. So she was a, you know, like almost a full-on replacement over there. One more thing that I need to show you so that we can get a little bit more insight over here about the role that specifically Bilhah played. The Torah says, "Vayitzavu el Yosef lemor avicha tziva lifnei moto lemor." Right? This is in Parashat Vayechi after Yosef dies. So Yosef tells the brothers, "Oh, Abba wanted us all to get along. The brothers sent to Yosef, Abba wanted us all to get along. So don't hate us." But he sends a shaliach to tell them. Who is the shaliach? So Rashi says, "Et mitzivu et bnei Bilha." Sheirigilin et sloshen amar v'unar et bnei Bilha. We know that Yosef used to hang out with bnei Bilha. So they sent bnei Bilha to take care of it. I did see another source that they didn't send, that he didn't send bnei Bilha. Who did he send?
Bilha herself.
Bilha herself, which is really interesting. That he thought that Bilha could make a difference. Why would he think that? So I found an article online. There's not a lot written about Bilha and Zilpah. Found an article online written by Rav Uri Sharkey. Rav Uri Sharkey is a Talmud of Rav Kook. He's a big player in the kind of Israeli outreach movement. And he has a nice article on Bilha and Zilpah. And he goes into the concept of a shifcha in Jewish thought. And he points out, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but he points out that the shifcha in Jewish thought is actually quite a positive term. Almost any time you find shifcha, it's used in some kind of positive ways. You have it in the Torah, you also have it in the Gemara. Who's the most famous shifcha in Shas? So you have the shifcha of Rebbe. There's a story about the shifcha of Rebbe, that she was such a knowledgeable woman and a Yarei Shamayim, she wasn't Jewish, that the Talmidim of Rebbe, when they couldn't get to Rebbe, when he was too sick to talk to, so they used to go to the Shifcha of Rebbe and ask her questions about the meanings of certain words in Hebrew. And she used to tell them because she had imbibed so much from Rebbe. Likewise, the famous story in Shas about the death of Rebbe. Martin, you know the story, yes?
What's the story? He was suffering, he had intestinal disease, and he used to go in and out of the bathroom and take on his tefillin, put his tefillin off, and the Talmidim were praying for his recovery outside, and she could see how much he was suffering, so she went up to the roof and threw a jar off the roof. So they got a fright when it smashed on the ground. They stopped praying, and so the Malach HaMelech were taken.
That's right. And so basically, she caused him to die, but it was... It appears to be in the Gemara that this was the right thing to do. It seems to look at it positively, even though the Rebbeim are not happy, the Talmidim are not happy at the time, but the Gemara seems to take it, and the Poskim, actually, or Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it, where he seems to take this as the right thing to do. How would you characterize that role that she plays over there? Both the role and her personality, how would you characterize that?
Almost maternal.
It's maternal. It's practical. It's empathetic and conscious of what's in front of her, right? She understands something that they don't understand. They see him as their Rebbe. They see him as a repository of information, as someone that they need. How does she see it? She sees him. She sees him. She sees the suffering that he's going through. She sees that he needs an end to it. And so she decides to do something about it that they can't do because they're only looking at it from their perspective and she's looking at it from his perspective. It appears, Rav Sharkey says, that this is a role of a shifcha. A shifcha is somewhat interchangeable with other words. The negative connotation of shifcha. What's the negative word for a shifcha that we actually find applied to Bilha?
Pilegesh.
Pilegesh. That's right. A pilegesh. Why is it that that word finds its way into the Torah? Because of Reuven. Because of what he does. Right? Because that's how he treats her. He treats her as a pilegesh. Vayelech Ruvain, Vayishkavet Bilha Pilegesh Aviv. Whatever it is that Ruvain did, this is not a shira about that. He's treating her as a Pilegesh, as basically a sexual object of Yaakov. That's what it is, right? Which is a very negative way, or at least a minimizing of her role. What's possibly the most positive way that you could describe a shifcha? Obviously, this depends on the circumstance, and it depends on the mitziyut. But there is another word applied over here to something that's like a shifcha. I can't prove it, but in a way, we might say that Dvora is in fact a shifcha. Whose shifcha is she? She's Rivka's shifcha. But in what way? Because ultimately, what role does she play? She's the meineket. Now, what's a meineket?
It's a nursemaid, a weak right. Nurse.
So what role can you say a nursemaid plays in terms of the life of the person being nursed?
It's like a mother. She's right. Giving her life.
Like yeah. A mother and like a mechanechet, right? This is a person who plays a wise, nurturing. I'm trying to find the right word. She teaches, right? She's a teacher in terms of her charges, right? Her wards. So in a way.
Something like Moshe and Moshe right. Being nursed by his own mother. Yeah.
Right. Right, and it's a chinuch role. It's a person who has a big influence. Yeah, it's an influence. The meineket is going to have a very big influence. When I was growing up, so one of my best friends lives across the street. So we had a live-in maid. Okay, Jackie was her name, and she was like one of the family. She was an African American woman, but she came to all the bar mitzvahs. Later on, long after she was no longer in their house, she came to all the weddings. She knew me because she used to pick us up from school. And I'll never forget, I used to come over to the house. I would come in without knocking and she would yell. I would go to the fridge and take drinks out and she would yell at me. She'd say, you can't do that. That's not right. And I still remember to this day that those things that she would say to me, like, you can't do this. That's not appropriate. That's not proper. You shouldn't do that. And she just, both parents worked. And so she was there when I got home from school. She was there. I would go over to the friend's house and she would play that role. Okay. And she was part of our chinuch. Just the reality was she was part of the chinuch, even though she wasn't my mother and she wasn't his mother, but she was a part of that chinuch. And so that's the role that Bilha plays. Okay. And now when we go back to the source, whether it's the daughters of Bilha or the sons of Bilha rather, or maybe it makes even more sense that it would be Bilha herself. Why does it make sense for the sons to send Bilha? Because she played that role in the family, maybe. She was a motherly figure. She was an influential figure. And what I love what Rav Sharkey says. He says an amazing thing. He says, Ha'achim shalchu li Yosef shaliach miyuchad, shekanireh hayta lo hashpa'a alav. Person who had influence on Yosef. Shaliach ze hayta bilha. Ha'achim yad'u ki ha'koach ha'yachid v'ha'acharon ha'msugal la'ached et kulam zo bilha. Their last resort, their ace in the hole is going to be bilha. Why? Why bilha? And not, let's say, Rachel or Leah. Why not them? She'etzlaya tamun hasod shal hemshech hashra'at hashchina b'Yisrael. Mi shegalui latzibur eino yachol lihimalet mihaga'ava. Somebody who plays a major role, right? Not a minor role, but a major role, cannot help but be infected with arrogance. If you know you're important, it's inescapable. But mi shetifkido zutar lichora yachol lifol toch anava gdola yoter vaz pulato margeshet yoter mamika yoter. This is where I wanted to get to. The fact that we don't know much about Bilhan Zilpa does not detract from their influence in the family. And if anything, probably increased it. The people upon whom the spotlight shines sometimes that spotlight, sometimes it leads to, first of all, arrogance. And also it makes it hard sometimes to accept things from them. You know, think about a team at work. So you have the person who's the leader of the team. And the leader of the team says, all right, guys, let's take this really seriously. We gotta put all our energy into this project. Everybody's depending on us. And we've got to really, really do a great job. Now, on the one hand, that's his job to do that. It's his or her job to say that. But on the other hand, everybody on the team, they know that it's their job. So of course he's saying we got to put all our into it. How seriously do you take that person? On the other hand, if a person on the team, who let's say has been there for a long time, but is not the leader of the team, but plays kind of a veteran role, if they say, okay, guys, we can do this and we need to put all of our energy into it and it's really important, sometimes they'll get taken more seriously because they're not the leader. Dafka, because they don't sit in the spotlight and it's not shining on them and not everybody doesn't treat them as the captain of the ship, you can listen to them much more than you might listen to the actual captain. Does that make sense? And so that's the role that Bilhah plays. Bilhah and Zilpah are able to work from the shadows, not from the spotlight. And they can have an influence on Yosef because Yosef will listen to them. Because they don't, first of all, you know, they don't really have a horse in the race, right? And second of all, because they're not, you know, in the center. It's safe to listen to them.
I think that's the key. They're independent. They don't have an angle. They're not conflicted. They're not.
Yeah.
It doesn't see her as coming as representing one side or the other, but she's someone that can, because she's independent and not conflicted, represent the group as a whole.
Right, right.
Well, that's not 100% true, because she was trying to get Yosef not to take revenge on the brothers. So yeah. Those would include her sons.
Right, but the question is, how much are they her sons really? And how much are they treated that way? And ultimately, who is he really going to take revenge on? Probably more on the Yehuda, Reuven,
Shimon. Sons. Yeah.
Right. I mean, she was, what I'm saying, she wasn't seen as coming from Team Leah. Right?
Certainly not, because she's actually Rachel's Shifcha.
Exactly. But on the other hand, for Leah's son, she's not Rachel. She's exactly as you said, she's in the middle, she's independent, she's in the shadows. She's
right. Makes sense.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Now, just to end and to kind of reverse the trend that I just described, there are sources that say Shisha Miyodea. Take a look. This is a Midrash Rabbah, Midrash in Bamidbar, when it says Vayoviot et korbanon lifnei Hashem shesh agalot zav, shesh keneged shesh et mei bereishit. They bring these shesh agalot zav. This is in Parshat, what's it called? Naso, I believe. This is when the Nesi'im are bringing their korbanot for the inauguration of the Mishkan. So they bring Shesh Eglot Tzav. What's the significance of the number 6? So the Midrash offers a few different possibilities. Number 1, Shesh Enimei Bereishit. Number 2, Shesh Keneged Shisha Sidra Mishnah. So that's the one that made into the Haggadah. But there were other options. Shesh Keneged Imahot. Eluen, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Bila, Zilpa. Okay? So you see that we were this close. They were this close from having Shesh Miyodea, including Bilhah and Zilpah. Also, the Targum Yonatan as well. It says, Moshe put his hand on the sea using his great and glorious stick, which had been created at the very beginning, right? This is the Excalibur stick. And Hashem's special name was engraved on it, as were the 10 letters indicating the plagues. That's the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav. And the three fathers and the 6 mothers. And the 12 tribes. There they are. Esther Rabbah, random place. In Esther Rabbah, it says, Sheish ma'alot l'kisei. Sheish keneged shisha rekiim. Okay, so this kisei that Achashverosh was sitting on, which was the kisei of Shlomo, or at least a reasonable facsimile. So it had six steps. So what are the 6 steps? So amongst other things that have 6 are mentioned over here, Sheish keneged sheish imaot. There you go. Another one. And finally, this is the last thing that I want to show you. Another place where this comes up, random. the Imre Emes, one of the Ger Rebbe's. So he says, this is an amazing thing. This is what I'm going to leave you with tonight. Nikra Lavan Arasha Mishum Shamar Habanot Bnotei Babanim Banai. Lavan wanted to say they were all his. B'chol Asher Tara'eh Lihu. Lavan says, everything here is mine. Shakol Shalom. B'chol Asher Tara'eh Hainu. Kol Masha Tara'eh Baruch HaKodesh. Atzov Kol Adorot. Lukulam Yesh Li Shaychut. Lavan says, everything you are and everything you will be is mine. Scary, right? V'lachein Yarad Yaakov Avinu L'Mitzrayim. So what did Yaakov do? He went down to Mitzrayim in order to become purified, meaning to get the lavan out of all of his children. Right? Interesting. Now, what's the metaphor? Vagam shebagashmiyut yetzu haimaot min lavan birer v'zikech Yaakov avinu alav shalom kokach shelo yeh lehem shum sheichud lavan. Even though his wives were all from Lavan, he wanted to get rid of the lavan from them. Right? Kur HaBarzel is the iron crucible. Except, Martin, you never heard this before. The word Barzel, Roshei Tevot, Bilha, Rachel, Zilpa, Le'ah. Shezikecham ke'inyan shekatuv mezukak shivatayim. That he cleared them out. He purified Bnei Yisrael from all the lavanness that was in Rachel, Leah, Bilha, and Zilpah, the word Barzel. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Shabbat. It would have been much simpler when I was a kid because I was always confused about the three forefathers and the four foremothers. Right? And with the three forefathers and six foremothers, I would have realized that four had nothing to do with the number.